Hello, and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Admiral Phillips, and joining me is Captain Dodd.
That's right. I have joined you from ThisWeekInGeek.net, and on this edition, the Future Imperfect logs, we are taking out into the great expanse known as the Great Unknown of the yet just recently announced Captain Picard series that will be on CBS All Access at some point in the future, plus some miscellaneous Trek news that has hit the comm network, such as it was, be it good, bad, or what the hell is going to happen next with this franchise. I guess we're going to have to wait and talk about that. So, yes, me and Admiral Phillips have been doing our thing here on the Future Imperfect. Haven't been doing a lot with Starfleet over the last little bit, or at least I haven't anyway.
I've been filing reports, I've been communicating, but we've had a couple members join up from the unlisted category.
Oh, good!
We're still short of our 10 quota, but
we're getting there.
Faith we'll get there.
That's good, because I'm really hoping to kick things into high gear with the Future Imperfect now that we're getting into the fall, which means things are getting busier, but things are getting slower. What I mean by that is there's more time, yet there's less time. I don't know. I'm just finding I can probably dedicate more time to being inside watching Star Trek now that the cooler weather's starting to come here. My wheelchair won't be able to get around as much as I used to be able to. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. But hopefully I'll get around to watching more Star Trek. We can file more reports and maybe get more people active in our chapter because we will get to that 10 before the end of the year. I assure you of that.
So funny enough that you mentioned the chapter, and this is a good thing. So don't go down that rabbit hole.
Of course.
So anyways, I was emailed a couple of days ago, about attending an event local to my area.
Mm-hmm.
Which you may ask, what would that be? There's a science museum in Michigan, the Michigan Science Center, and it's one of the biggest ones. It's like in Detroit, but they have these events called After Dark, which is basically when the museum closes to the public. Every month on the third Thursday, they have from 6 to 9 p.m. a 21 and over event. So they've done like vintage video games, you know, so you'll play like all kinds of consoles that they'll have set up around there. People in cosplay. They've done Marvel versus DC in August. And I was totally unaware of any of these things. So September, they're doing Star Trek.
Ooh.
And they reached out to me to make a presence there. And I was hoping that they were going to have a panel like they did for the Marvel versus DC, but they've opted not to do that for the Star Trek one, which I find a little unfortunate, but at the same time, like, I'm excited to be going in the first place. But yeah, they said that they're having a Star Trek themed event and that they'd love for me to be part of the event in some format. And so I reached back out and let them know that I was interested. And so there's a possibility I may be doing like
chapter recruitment.
Well, that or Trek trivia or elements concerning that. And I threw a couple of ideas of things that could be done there regarding Trek. And so we'll just kind of see. I'm waiting to hear back with the, because they're still in the final stages of the planning. So there's a little bit of adjustments and things that they may yet do. So I'm going to try and do some live streaming and trying to do just whatever capacity I can there. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'd be heading directly from work to there. So I'm kind of excited.
I think that's actually pretty cool. And I'm always glad whenever events in the local community reach out to fan clubs such as this, because I would imagine this group has probably reached out to people such as the 501st, which is the Star Wars Costume Guild and stuff like that. So that's neat. I'm really happy for that. I think that'll be some good exposure for us, some good exposure for you, and just a chance to give back to the Star Trek community at large. I really hope you get a chance to do trivia. I think it'd be neat if you could somehow set up a pub quiz or something like that, if you can get enough participants in it.
I think it'll be kind of interesting because they're, I know that they want to do trivia for sure. And so like, I am waiting to see if they are providing the trivia or if I am providing the trivia. Because there's a plethora of things that I could think of, both easy and difficult in Trek that, would be interesting, to have come out during the trivia time. Especially because they have like a signature drink, alcoholic beverage for people at these events that are part of the admission. Mm-hmm. And then so it'll be funny to see some of the people partially intoxicated trying to answer questions.
I think it'll be fun, especially if there is drinking involved. You've got to figure out a way to do a pub quiz, because pub quizzes is some of the most fun I've had doing conventions like MAGFest and PAX, where you just get a group of people at a table and you can have teams compete against you. And as long as you're not making it super hard trivia, like what uniform did Captain Picard wear in episode 4 of season 3 or some bullshit like that. So that still could be fun. I think you're going to have a tremendously fun time there.
Yeah. So I'm kind of excited about it because it's the first time I've been invited to partake in an event in some capacity, official capacity. So it's kind of cool. And they reached out through the Future Imperfect website, which was even more awesome.
Well, aren't we just all sorts of badass?
Yes, yes. I just wish I had my Starfleet uniform.
Oh, you don't have? I was actually going to ask you, do you have it like ready to go yet?
It's not. It's still being worked on, but it's more so at the whim of the designer, because I happen to choose a very difficult design. It's not like the DS9. It's not, you know, TNG. It's not. It's not the Monster Maroon from the Wrath of Khan. That's what they call it in the Star Trek sphere. I like the DS9, you know, Star Trek TNG film uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the TOS film uniform as my like main two. But in Star Trek Online, I like the Odyssey uniform, the Odyssey dress uniform, which is basically the Wrath of Khan uniform given basically mixed with the TNG uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the result you get. And plus I had my own color scheme to it instead of the one that was by default in the game. And so that is the uniform I'm having made. So it's going to be epic, but I'm still going to have my Star Trek comm badges and TOS communicator with me and generic Star Trek t-shirt with the Enterprise. But just because that's all I have.
When is the event?
It's September 20th.
Well, you've got a few weeks. You should maybe reach out to some of the local fan clubs. You can always just put a blast out on our groups. They're bound to know someone who does Star Trek cosplay and then could invite a few people out. Never know. Could be fun.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the things that I suggested to them too. So it's pretty awesome. So couldn't help but tease
go
that.
Us.
Yes. Go us. So anyways, in addition to all of that, we have some Trek news that came up that, yeah, we're a little late in the game to the news, but better late than never. So, yeah, Patrick Stewart revealed that he's at Star Trek Live, that he's going to be returning as Jean-Luc Picard.
And this will be a series produced exclusively for CBS All Access. I think the premieres, I don't think they've announced a premiere date or even when they're starting production. All we know is that it's a Captain Picard series. He's coming back. We don't know if any other Star Trek TNG alumni will be with him or not. If this is a Hail Mary for the Star Trek franchise, I can't think of anything else outside of bringing back William Shatner. And he can't do the things that Patrick Stewart can still do at his age.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shatner is almost 90 and Patrick Stewart's almost 80. So
But I'd argue Picard, I'd argue Stewart's in way better shape.
Oh, well, he did X-Men films.
Yeah, exactly. So, and
Shatner hasn't done anything since Boston Legal, really.
Yeah, he's done maybe a cameo here and there. So nothing significant enough to sink your kind of teeth into. So, no. I mean, I think this is a good idea. It'll probably be if I had to make a prediction now, it'll be 10 to 13 episodes. They're going to try and get their money's worth out of Stewart, because I bet you they backed up a dump truck full of money to his house and said, look, Patrick, we're in trouble here. And Patrick's always been really good to the fans. He's always been really good to the franchise, despite leaving back with Nemesis back in, I want to say, 2003, I think.
Was 2002. The last
2002. So it's been quite a number of years since he's been involved with any film or anything else in that capacity. So, but also I see this as CBS saying, hey, we need this service to be a success. And what better way than basically taking every fanboy's dream of saying, I want a Captain Picard Starfleet Academy series. Cause that's what I think it's going to be. It's going to be Starfleet Academy or something equivalent, or maybe the Young Adventures of Captain Picard, with Picard doing bookends to each episode or something.
See, I have different theories on it, because one of the series that is going to be produced is a Starfleet Academy series.
Yep.
So I don't think that they're going to go that route with them. There's also going to be another animated series, to what degree, I don't know. There's going to be the little mini series kind of highlighting character highlights of like Discovery characters. Then of course there's Discovery, which they're kind of revamping for season two, and I'm in favor of. And then we've got Picard and a Khan series. And so the Picard series, I see it being 13 episodes. I see it being a one-off, unless, you know, it goes really well and then they manage to bring it back again and, or maybe do like a Riker series or something. But, also, you know, they could have LeVar Burton easily. Because even in Star Trek Online, he's captain of the Starship Challenger that he was in that alternate future episode of Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still involved in Starfleet in that capacity. Worf would be an ambassador, although I'd still be in favor of Captain Worf series, which may get closer to a possibility after Picard.
Well, yeah, because like I said, CBS needs CBS All Access to be a success, and they're banking on a big name star like Stewart to really carry it, to be the flagship. Because as successful as Discovery was, you could still get it on broadcast and it was still pirated, and guarantee they're going to torrent the hell out of this series too. Mm-hmm. But it'll probably encourage the more less tech savvy person to subscribe to the service in order to boost some of those numbers that CBS wants to see out of it.
Well, CBS has decided in their infinite wisdom that they need a Star Trek series going 365 days a year. Like, they need consistent Star Trek content all year, which that would get me on board with their service. Knowing that every week I'm going to have a Star Trek episode, even if it's of a different series, having them all, you know, one right after the other would keep the momentum going. And I think that that's really brilliant on their behalf, because there's really no way for you to sign up and binge an entire series if there's more series constantly going.
Yeah. It keeps you constantly engaged.
Yeah. And so like the Picard series, I see two things. I see him being in the ambassador role. Yep. Because it's going to be real time. They're going to have him, you know, or retired ambassador, which he would have been the ambassador to Vulcan at some point. But it's going to take place, you know, 20 years after the TNG Nemesis episode. So you'll have whoever, you know, from the original cast in whatever capacity that they would be in this point. You know, Data would be reborn through
before,
and then you'd have Geordi as the captain of the Challenger. You know, Riker would either be admiral of a starbase or captain of the Titan still. Troy would be with him. Dr. Crusher would be at Starfleet Medical. And then Worf would be either ambassador on the Klingon homeworld or he would be, you know, to some other degree involved with Starfleet. But I see Picard going in the route of, in a way, like the Last Jedi, but not.
Okay.
And I say that because I think that they're going to make this a definitive end to his character and some of the TNG timelines. We may see like DS9 people or Voyager people show up, which would be great. You know, people cameoing in different capacities in relation to the story and how they would fit. But I also see them kind of having Picard, because Starfleet's kind of gone all military. You know, whether it's the Romulans, the Borg, the Breen, which are, I believe, after at some point or during the Dominion time. So, I mean, you have all these different wars constantly going on, and then the relations between the Klingons break down. And so, like, technically, this series is going to kind of butt up into just online. Prior to the Star Trek Online timeline.
Now, it depends. This will set kind of precedent whether online it will be considered officially canon. And I know they've said it's canon, whatever.
CBS has claimed that it is canon.
But ultimately, what's on TV is ultimate canon. Stuff like that. It's like saying stuff that happens in the comic books. Yeah, it's canon. But if something on TV happens, that's canon. You know what I mean? It's going to basically, it's going to come down to movies official canon, then TV, then whatever extra properties. Because more people are going to watch the TV series as opposed to play the game.
True. So
that will determine ultimately what happens.
But being that it's written as a fan service for the most part.
And I think it'll be relegated to kind of like how Memory Beta is considered canon. You know what I mean?
Memory Beta is not considered canon. Memory Alpha is.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say is the Picard series will wipe out if what I think is going to happen. I think it'll wipe out Star Trek Online's storyline. And Star Trek Online will be its own thing-ish.
Well, I don't think so.
That's going to happen.
I don't think so, honestly, because there's a decent amount of history that's missing in the game between the time period of Nemesis and when Voyager comes home to the 2409. And so there's enough time between that span that they could easily fill in the gap. And you never find out what happened to Picard. You never find out what happened to Riker post-Nemesis. You never find out Troy, Crusher. You only find out Worf, Geordi, and Data are the only three that are actually still active as far as mention in Star Trek Online. Like, nobody else has any mention.
It would surprise me tremendously because I don't see Star Trek Online having the synergy with the TV show. Now, if they're smart, they would figure out a way to do it.
Well, they've tied Star Trek Online to all between Enterprise, TOS, Voyager, DS9, and TNG. It fits between those and all of the films, like timeline wise, like everything like interweaves in the gray area or the missing space of the Star Trek timeline, of the Prime timeline. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, there's a nice 20-year gap between Nemesis and the year 2409, where other than like the Federation's alliance with the Klingons having broken down and they're kind of fighting and at war with the Klingons again, there's really nothing else going on.
Yeah.
So there's, like I said, there's plenty of area to play in there. And even if Picard's is secluded within the timeline and it doesn't really affect Star Trek Online or the, you know, all the other canons that are considered canon by CBS, there's still enough other areas that this could take place and not affect either way. So I think that we could end up seeing Picard possibly like captain of some kind of a freighter or getting his old crew back together a la All Good Things to do one final mission together. Certain people that would, you know, be partaking in the series, that is, or certain Starfleet. Like, I could almost see this being Star Trek's own version of Renegades.
I kind of had a feeling you were probably going to go there with that. Yeah.
Because Picard has always been this idealist and this person that stands up for what is right and what is just and individual rights and civilization rights and archaeology and preserving, you know, things the way that they should be instead of all of these, you know, Starfleet's kind of questionable actions depending on admirals that are giving commands. So I could see very much Picard kind of having this, you know, I'm tired of taking it. I don't work for you anymore and I'm going to do what I want. And so then he kind of goes on his own mission, and I could see people from TNG, Voyager and DS9, and even maybe some of the TOS cast jumping in if there's, you know, a way for that to happen.
Yeah, we're going to have to see. Basically, one thing, that this show will live and die by its budget, not by its writing. And what I mean by budget, how many stars can they get on board?
Mm-hmm.
Because Patrick Stewart, once again, the truckload of money backed up to his house. I hope you got a few shopping bags full of cash to bring other people on board. But then again, despite, you don't see people like Frakes and Cirrus doing a lot outside of doing stuff behind the camera. You don't see them doing a lot of acting, is what I'm saying.
You don't really see them doing a lot anymore. Sirtis does stuff on British television now, and she and Tim Russ have actually just recently guest starred in the Orville.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Sirtis was around with Jonathan Frakes, because she was pulled into an episode of the Orville that Frakes directed. Frakes does a lot more behind the camera at this point. But it would be great to see them all return, being that they're seemingly one of the most close-knit casts out of any of the Trek series.
Mm-hmm.
Like they all genuinely like each other and get along. And that's why, like, almost all the time, like 90% of them will be together at a convention at any given point.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it'll also depend a lot on schedules too, on basically how things are going to work. So, like I said, I'm fairly, I don't know, I want to be optimistic, but I'm very pessimistic because I know Discovery looked good-ish for its budget. Could have looked better. Season 2 looks a hell of a lot better. Picard better look amazing.
I think that Discovery looks better for Season 2 because of the tone.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're trying to actually connect with TOS instead of just kind of having this like dark war series. And also it looks like that they've cut back the special effects and have more like practical involved. And so it looks more clean instead of shiny and polished of the CG. Like it looks more natural. And I think that that's why the teasers for Discovery so far look so much more uplifting and nicer and more Trek in nature than Season 1 did. But if you look at TNG was dark as heck during the first season, and it turned around and got more light as the series went on. I mean, it had its dark episodes, but it was still, it got lighter in tone and more enjoyable covering its various topics.
Mm-hmm. I think Picard, I think it'll be mostly a very, I don't see it going the route of war. I see it being not a lighter show in terms of, like, I think if anything, it'll stick very close to the Trek ideals of exploration, peace, and all the good stuff that Gene Roddenberry wanted it to stand for. I think it'll feel closer to, like you said, late TNG, maybe even early Voyager, than say Discovery or DS9's war stories.
See, and this is the great thing of when Picard or Patrick Stewart, when he posted on Twitter, he says, "I will always be very proud to have been part of Star Trek: The Next Generation. But when we wrapped that final movie in the spring of 2002, I felt my time with Trek had run its natural course. It is therefore an unexpected but delightful surprise to find myself excited and invigorated to be returning to Jean-Luc Picard and to explore new dimensions within him, seeking out new life for him when I thought that life was over. During these past years, it has been humbling to hear stories about how The Next Generation brought people comfort, saw them through difficult periods in their lives, or how the example of Jean-Luc inspired so many to follow in his footsteps, pursuing science, exploration, and leadership. I feel I'm ready to return to him for the same reason, to research and experience what comforting and reforming light he might shine on these often dark times. I look forward to working with our brilliant creative team as we endeavor to bring a fresh, unexpected, and pertinent story to life once more.
I think the series has its work cut out for it.
It's going to have very high expectations.
Yeah, exactly. A show like this, if anything, and Discovery had this problem too, and I think it did a fairly good job. It can't afford to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this is CBS's Hail Mary. And I don't know, like, CBS believes in CBS All Access. It believed enough in Discovery to keep it going. So I guess we find out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I believe that they're kind of stating that possibly the year would be like $23.99.
But we also don't know yet.
We don't know, but that's the possibility, because you're saying it's supposed to be 20 years after Nemesis, which would be logically the same of age-wise of all the actors. So, but they're saying that, it's going to be interesting for sure to see what transformation they take Picard on in the future.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, my mic is caught around my leg right now. So
that's awesome.
You hear me shifting around. I'm sorry.
Is mic strangling him? Mike strangling, yep. Mike.
Pretty much.
But yeah. And then there's the other bit of crap news that Paramount's just having all kinds of fun right now, because CBS is like, yay, we're making money by trying to get people to spend money and get our service. And Paramount's like, crap, we can't afford two big actors for our next film.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine have evidently walked.
Yep, they, it's been a couple of weeks since the announcement, like 2-3 weeks, and they backed out of negotiations for the currently entitled Trek 4 that is still set to begin production at some point in the future, and it's without Kirk. Like, I mean, it would be difficult for them to recast at this point unless they were just going to flat out reboot. Because it's not like they did it after the first film, like they did with Iron Man and replacing Rhodey.
Yeah, now he's had a couple of films to go in. But honestly, losing Hemsworth isn't that big a deal. Losing Kirk is a big deal.
Yeah, and they think that, and this is what they were saying, that the film producer thinks that losing the stars doesn't matter. He says, losing Pine and Kirk is not a big deal and kind of cool. Actors don't matter. Stories do. This is the universe presenting an opportunity to do something different, boldly go where no suits have gone before, is what the producer is saying. But I still would have loved to have seen Trek 4, the time traveling father-son adventure with Hemsworth and Pine. It would basically balance out Pine's Kirk to be the Kirk that we know,
mm-hmm.
Having met his father. But I don't know. I won't really be able to give it like that, because you're already not going to have Chekhov, because he died before Beyond came out.
Yeah, and I'd rather they not recast that role.
They're not going to recast Chekhov. They're just going to write him out. But then if you don't have Kirk, then I don't know. I think it just kind of throws, like, you can kind of do without like Sulu and Chekhov at certain points, because like oftentimes they were kind of the rotating chair off the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like, to go without Kirk, Spock, McCoy, and Uhura and Scotty,
that's
because those are like the core five.
Yeah, that's a bridge too far. And that's okay to do for a TV series, but for a big budget movie, you're asking an awful lot of the audience, and the audience just won't be there if those characters aren't there. When you say Star Trek, they associate those five core characters. You don't have them on screen. And considering Chris Pine's career is still fairly hot, I don't see this as a good thing. Losing Hemsworth, he's got Avengers money, and probably for the next little bit, he won't have to do anything. So
yeah, I like, because honestly, like if they don't have Kirk in it, I probably won't go see it, because I honestly, like, they've killed, you know, if they would have just gone the route of having Captain Pike instead of, you know, Kirk, and kind of having the timeline completely different, it would have been different. But honestly, like, with all the growth they've put into Kirk's character over the past three films, like, I almost don't really care about the Paramount film universe and care more about the television universe, where they're not trying to mess with the original cast dynamics. They're just creating new, which leaves, or playing within the universe where there's things missing. Like, there's not the history there yet, as far as we know, other than like books, which really aren't considered canon anyway. So it's like, I'm all in favor to what they're going to do with Discovery Season 2 in the Picard series. But like, honestly, like, this news doesn't really enthuse me to go see the next film.
Yeah, I still haven't even seen Star Trek Beyond yet.
And honestly, it's way better than Into Darkness.
That's not a high bar to crest.
Well, it felt like an original film, but because Into Darkness bombed, Beyond bombed because of that. But the story was great. Like, yeah, you did have the Star Trek III, the search for Spock, where the Enterprise crashes and burns. It's a spoiler, but it's not really. Like, they kind of show it in the promotional trailer, but it's still like it's a totally new film beyond that one element. So but they did lie to us though for Discovery. They did cast a Spock.
Yeah, and it wasn't Zachary Quinto, which would have been a nice bit of continuity, but whatever. Some new guy, and I think that's okay. I think he looks the part.
He looks the part. He definitely has the look of like Leonard Nimoy when he started as Spock. But the funny thing is his grandfather, I believe, was associated with the original Trek. I think his grandfather was Gregory Peck, and his name is Ethan Peck, and Gregory Peck was, I believe, involved. I gotta see what he was in Star Trek, but I believe he was either an actor or a producer or something on the original series. I'll have to dig more into that, but I just thought that was kind of cool that there was that element as well. So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of wondering what they're gonna do with Spock in the show.
Yeah, I'm still very uncertain about this season two. Like, it all hinges on Spock somehow. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see until we see more. We'll know more in the new year. We'll probably see another trailer before we'll see something before the end of the year. That is my prediction right now.
Yeah. So I was wrong. He had the grandfather had nothing to do with Star Trek, but he was a famous movie star, TV star. So that's where I got that from. But anyways, I look forward to seeing what they do with season two. I have higher hopes for this season compared to season one. And then I have really high hopes for Picard. So I really hope they don't let me down. it's going to be difficult if they do. So on the plus side, though, Trek and CBS received the Emmy's Governor Award.
Ooh.
The Academy of Television Arts and Sciences announced that the Star Trek franchise and CBS Television Studios are this year's recipient of the Governor's Award for its contribution to society and media for 50-plus years. So
that's an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. especially for a television series. So it's, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Trek's awesome. So anything you'd like to mention before?
Nothing too much, really. Obviously, we got people are going back to school rather soon, so make sure you're ready to go back. I may have a small back to school gift guide on the Twig Main show in like a week. So for those of you starting college, mostly, that'll be mostly for you guys, not so much for the little kids. I was hoping to get a botched role done this week. Don't think that's going to happen, as I'm reading a book for review right now. I'm reading Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition, so I should have a review of that hopefully this weekend on the Twig Main show, because this premieres on Tuesdays, right, typically?
Yes.
So you will have heard my review by this point of that, and you will hear an upcoming holiday or a going back to school gift guide, basically three things I think you need to survive your first year of college, because everybody needs a piece of tech or some geekery to get them through those first long hard weeks, or frosh week if you're a new student. So anyway, that's pretty much what I've got coming up on the show, the Twig usual stupidity that you've come to expect from us. So until next time, for us here on Future Imperfect, we pull back into the starbase for repair and refit. We have been
Admiral Phillips.
I've been Captain Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live long and prosper.